This is Peter J. Pollack, MD, with another Medical Practice Trends podcast, and our guest today is Mary Pat Whaley, a practice management consultant who blogs on managemypractice.com. Welcome, Mary Pat.
Thank you very much.
Our topic today is EHR update. There's a lot of confusion and panic among medical practices, even those that feel like they're somewhat in the know, and things are happening so quickly, and there are constant changes and amendments and regulations. So what's a practice to do?
Well, I think the first thing that a practice needs to do is to really think about whether or not they're ready for an EMR or an EHR. I tend to use those two terms interchangeably. There's different theories on what the two mean, one meaning the product and the other meaning the record, but I have to tell you I'm a little lazy when it comes to that, so I use them interchangeably. But that's the first thing. Most practices are hopefully thinking about an EMR, not for the incentive money per se, but because of what it would mean to their practices, to the care, to the efficiencies. Obviously, the stimulus plan has done what the government intended to do, was kind of wake everybody up and get everybody paying attention. But I think most consultants will agree that you need to do the EHR for the practice. And if it works out to get the money, that is fabulous. You know, one of the ways to make sure that you can get the stimulus money once you decide you are going to purchase an EMR is to make sure that you pick from the list of certified EHRs. That is a list that's on the Office of the National Coordinator's website, and so that's very easy to find. You can just Google certified EHR list, and that will pop up. That's the first step to kind of calm down a little bit, is to decide, number one, is it the right thing for your practice? And then number two, to make sure that any piece of software that you're interested in purchasing is certified, so it will not only qualify for the stimulus money, but will also have everything in place for meaningful use.
And the meaningful use is actually the practice that has to meet those criteria. So I think there's sometimes a misconception that you buy the EMR system that's certified and you plug it in, flip the switch, and you can kick back and everything goes automatically.
Right. There are two EHR incentive programs. One's Medicare and one's Medicaid. And when we're talking about meaningful use right now, we are talking about the Medicare program. Because for the first year that you choose to participate, you do have to demonstrate 90 days of meaningful use. If you choose the Medicaid program, all you have to do for the first year is attest that you are adopting, implementing, or upgrading an EMR. So I would say from the word on the street, anybody who is eligible for the Medicaid program and has the population to meet the requirements is going for the Medicaid, because it is a little more difficult to qualify for the first year of Medicare.
And also the Medicaid pays more, doesn't it, when all's said and done?
It does. And when all's said and done, Medicaid actually pays, I think, about $62,000 or $64,000, and Medicare is $44,000.
One recent change, I guess, to HIPAA is this 50-10, or, you know, 40-10's changed to 50-10, and this is supposed to kick in the beginning of January. What importance is that to the typical practice?
A lot of practices are a little confused about this, and for the most part, if you are not submitting electronic claims directly to the payer, you do not have to be overly concerned about the 50-10 change, because your software supplier, your practice management system that does the billing, or practice management EMR if it's a combined system, however you're doing your billing, is taking care of the 50-10 transition and is providing the upgrades to the software. So that should be fairly non-problematic for most practices. I don't know if there are lots of practices who are going directly anymore to payers, but they're the ones who have to make their own, if they're using proprietary software, they have to make their own changes and do some pretty rigorous testing to make sure they're ready for the first of the year.
I think a lot of practices that maybe thought that they were really smart in going cheap with homemade or proprietary EMR systems probably rue the day that they did that. So tell me a little bit then about the ICD-10. I think is not kicking until the following year, 2013, is that correct?
Right, it's actually in October of 2013, so it's a little more than 2 years away. And ICD-10 is a great thing to be learning about now and thinking about now, and you will have to have an action plan for how your practice is going to change. But for most practices, it's a little premature. It's good to know about it. It's good to kind of have it in the back of your mind. It's good to learn about it, but there is nothing that you have to do right now. So that at least you can push to the back burner.
But is that also something that in all likelihood will be taken care of your EMR system?
Yes.
Okay.
It absolutely on the software side will be an upgrade provided by your software vendor. So if you're using your EMR for the billing side of things, or exactly how your EMR integrates into the billing system, will determine how much of a change you might be looking at. For practices where the physicians are not choosing the specific codes, they're just writing a little abbreviation down and the coder is choosing the codes, that's really not going to work with ICD-10, because where before there might be just one or two or a couple of codes to choose from, now there are going to be many more. And I really believe it's going to be something that's going to push it so that the physicians absolutely have to choose that code.
Anything along the lines of imaging that's new?
Starting in 2012, facilities that provide advanced imaging services, so that's CT, MRI, PET scans, have to be accredited through one of the three major accrediting bodies for imaging sites. Hopefully everybody's pretty much up to date on that. The CMS has been sending out letters to sites that are going to have to be accredited. So hopefully everybody's been on that track. I think they're saying that it typically is going to take 3 to 5 months to get accreditation, to get through that whole accreditation process. So I am hoping everybody out there listening has their accreditation underway if your site falls under those guidelines.
Well, Mary Pat, if someone wanted to get some more information about your blog or contact you, how could they do that?
Feel free to visit with us at the site at managemypractice.com. You can email me personally at marypat@managemypractice.com, and my phone number is also listed on the blog. Lots of follow-up information to the topics that we just touched on in this podcast, so I invite you to come look around and spend some time and read.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.